Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 316 of Fourth and Drawn. I'm Gale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Prime, and Mr. Hollis Thomas, a.k.a. Damn Skippy. We're talking the Eagles versus Colts recap. Obviously, we got the dub. On the road, road dubs are amazing. Some Eagle fans aren't excited about the way that we win, but the players in the locker room are always excited about catching dubs on the road. And if you look across the way, you see Sirianni, who was very elevated emotionally about catching that dub. So I feel like a great opportunity for him to get some revenge for Frank Reich. But overall, I think Eagle fans, I don't think everyone's used to being that tight in the chest on a Sunday afternoon. You're like, can we just curb stomp a team? But at the end of the day, they got a dub. You can't look past this. The Eagles are 9-1. Be excited. Ev, how are you feeling, my guy?
Well, I'm feeling a hell of a lot better than you, sick bastards. That's for sure.
But are both of you guys sick?
I think they both are
a little bit.
I'm not sure what it is. I hope it wasn't the Eagles play that brought you under the weather before this year. That one was way more of a nail biter. That one was way more stress induced, and that one felt like Shane Steichen's play calling kind of felt more mailed in than any of the other games that we played before this year. But a win is a win, and we saw resiliency from this Eagles team and Jalen Hurts. We saw a fourth quarter comeback, which is something we haven't seen from Jalen Hurts yet, being able to put up 14 points in the fourth to put us over top. Hey, man, I'm happy. We're 9-1. We created a little bit of separation with the second team in the NFC. I hate to say thank you, Cowboys, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. They're still feeling – the Cowboys fans are still feeling a little bit too hot, man. I got Cowboys fans that are way too high. They blew the Vikings out. Don't get me wrong. But let's remember what happened at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, there is no credit that I'm going to give those Cowgirls. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, they blew Vikings out. They did their job. You know, they ended up getting the Minnesota Vikings one game behind us, something we needed. But look, it's back to reality this week. I mean, we're going against Green Bay. They're playing the Giants this Thursday. We're kind of hoping for a better outcome. Back to the game, man. It was definitely frustrating. AJ, I want to go ahead and just make sure that you know that I am awake. I am feeling under the weather, but I saw your comment. It was crazy, man. It was definitely frustrating. I was down here watching it with the wifey. I mean, me and her were pacing back and forth. But at the same time, it was kind of exciting, man. It was just like, it was cool because, me and the wife were like giving each other high fives, pacing, and she was pacing one side of the room. I was pacing the other. The confidence level was kind of like still there, man. At the end of the day, they came together. It came with a better game plan at that last drive and, put it all in Jalen Hurts' hands, and he made it happen, man. His feet made it happen. He ended up pulling out that play, and, we came up with the victory. The excitement from Nick Sirianni definitely got me souped up because, I'm also a big fan of Frank Reich. At the end of the day, it's a business, and I get it. They had to do what they had to do. That's a close friend of his. I saw his frustration, but he definitely let it be known to the fans and, to the Indianapolis Colts fans as well. That was Frank Reich. So, I was happy for that.
Well, You know what? I was happy that the defense stepped up. But throughout the game, I had an epiphany. Do they have just one brain that they're passing from the offensive coordinator to the defense coordinator, the back and forth, and such and such? Because it was a masterful defensive game, which makes me think that Vic Fangio had a lot to do with it. Well, he may have had a small chat with him, and then our additions had a lot to do with it as well. But offensively, I felt like they had our number a little bit there, and they were getting us off the field. It's like one of those, they have a top five defense, so that's what you can expect in the playoffs. People will, and yes, and we did miss Goddard. So I was saying that throughout
that's
the
not
game.
The full comment. Read the full comment.
It wasn't definitely the full comment. Say the whole comment.
I'm not saying the last part of that
shit. Say the whole comment if you're gonna go ahead and comment, man.
That's Miss Jones coming. Let her get on this motherfucker and say that shit. I'm a grown ass man, dog. Respect it. So, but I was happy with the defensive play. Finally, we ran some blitzes and stuff. We did some stuff up front that I could be proud of, that I can hang my hat on. But offensively, we just have to come on and weather this bit of storm. But with some of the guys being out offensively, so I was it wasn't a pretty victory, but as I've told you guys before, it's a victory. I was arguing with somebody who was a Detroit Lions fan. Don't ask me why and shit.
Yeah.
But he was talking about some. You guys barely beat us. I say, what is the key word? What is the key words in that sentence? Beat us. We beat you. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of my face. I'm not going to kiss an overrated loser's ass. And the Cowboys, they probably use up all the touchdowns that they had in the West. But to help you guys out with the cow turd crap, I love it when there's great expectations for them. Because they're less for the big letdown.
It's inevitable. Every December and January time. is the Cowboy letdown for sure.
Right. The one thing that I've noticed is they don't know how to take things in stride.
No. They were nowhere to be found last weekend. Mm-hmm. They lost to Green Bay, and now they're riding high because they beat the Vikings, which understandably, I mean, the Vikings are a very good team and they played very well against them. But let's not have amnesia and forget the fact that we lost.
When we were saying that early on, when they was like, y'all ain't play nobody, but then all of a sudden they play the same team who ass we kicked.
Yep.
And then I'm afraid they get the fuck out of here with that.
You know they're not gonna give us the credit where credit is due, man.
Well, talk about giving credit.
That game didn't start at 8:30 p.m., so, for them.
So, talking about giving credit, who is your offensive MVP? I'll start with Prime. Who's your offensive MVP for last week's game?
I mean, bro, you got to give it to Jalen Hurts. The way he put that game plan together, I mean, he drove that last drive. He put it all in his hands to go ahead and win that game. It definitely was a nail-biter. I mean, you had that one play that we ended up losing like 3 or 4 yards. You didn't know what we were going to do the next play, and then – I mean, the minute that middle opened up, you saw his eyes get big right inside his helmet, and I saw it in the TV screen. So it was just So, I mean, that was the excitement right there. So, I mean, all day that man gets MVP from me.
He's racking them up, man. I mean, I don't know how many offensive MVPs he's gotten from the Fourth and John show, but is another one this week, dude. I don't even know who else on the offense you would really give it to. Certainly isn't going to be Steichen because the play calling was pretty abysmal in my opinion.
It was horrible. But you know what I did like though? I did like the second half adjustments.
Yeah,
coming out.
Yeah.
It's like it's a tough team and. It's a tough team, and they kind of know the offense you already run. So it's they have a good defense. Mm-hmm. So it's like I felt like if our defense, these are the type of games that we win as a team. Mm-hmm. It's like if our defense keeps us in the game, this is how you build confidence team wise throughout the team.
The one play design I will totally give credit for is the last touchdown we scored with Jalen Hurts going into the end zone. I mean, we kind of had Jason Kelce out there as a decoy where, he's Jalen Hurts.
He wasn't a decoy. Go back and watch the play again. I can break it down for you.
Break it down for me then.
He pulled. It was going to be a pass play depending on where the safety went. He pulled back and came up and got the linebacker. Once he pulled back, and Jalen was looking at the safety, when that safety went out open like the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. But he put, well, it would not have worked if they had to like an Xbox there.
My point of what I was saying was that he was following Boston Scott's block, not Jason Kelsey's blocks. That's the point of what I was saying.
But if Jason Kelsey had to pull, had the ability to pull out of that position, I'm a man and I win. Just let it go.
All right, my offensive MVP. Obviously, I'm following your trend of Jalen Hurts. I thought he had a great. I thought there's a moment in the game where he hit the switch and it was like I'm gonna put the team on my back though. You know, he came with those RPOs. There was a little bit of juice in his legs, in his demeanor. I think even just being have the wherewithal knowledge just to throw the ball up when he saw Miles Sanders was in a nice situation there, got a big chunk play with the penalty. No moment did I think they were going to lose. It was kind of weird. Still nervous, but didn't think they were going to lose. And obviously pull away with the W. Your defensive MVP. We'll start with Ev. Who's your defensive MVP?
Why don't we have Hollis go first?
Why do you want me to go first?
Because
my defense, I was
loading something up, to be honest.
Okay, it's a defensive line. The defensive line, their first drive, because it was a rotation. Because last week I watched a 31-year-old man take 70 plus plays, and then you bring Linval Joseph and Dominican Sue in here, and you got a lovely rotation where those guys combined for like 7 tackles and a half a sack each. But then also, it was a couple of holding calls that Fletcher Cox made them get. I think he felt like a part of it again, and it was a party in the backfield. After that first drive, it was a party in the backfield. And you got to give it up to the defensive line because they had constant pressure on Matt, on Slack Ryan all day. Matty Ice, the ice is melted. Mm. So my mind goes to the D-line.
D-line, okay.
I agree with you in the fact that this D-line looked completely different when you added in Sue and Linville Joseph. I'm still waiting next week to see Linville drop into coverage. That'll be a sight to see.
That'll be good. Oh, God.
I'm going to go with TJ Edwards, man. I agree with cut me open right here. I think he played a phenomenal game. And not to mention, like, this isn't just this game. This isn't, you know, just like he's popping off right now. My man has been showing up all year long. After we have had just a awful linebacking core for years leading up to this point, my man finally stepped up, and he balled yesterday, man. Or on Sunday, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Man, look, the fact that Evan just gave props to TJ Edwards is key right there, man. I've been waiting to hear that pretty much all season.
When did I become a TJ Edwards hater in your mind?
I'm not saying you're a hater, bro. I'm just saying, no, you just said it right. You just said it yourself. I mean, you said the man just finally stepped up. I mean, I think the dude's been stepping up all season.
What was said during the Eagles Autism Challenge? Run that back for me. What did you say passing TJ?
I said it wasn't TJ. Don't throw TJ.
It was TJ that we passed. Go ahead, repeat what you said.
I said we finally got linebackers.
Right. Okay.
Yo, but you know what? But if it wasn't for my comment, he wouldn't have stepped up. So I'm gonna take credit for that. Okay. He took it personal, but he could hold it against me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you guys are still picking people that cannot do what they did without what I just said. Without the men up front, they're not getting anything.
Nah, all day.
Without the men up front,
you got a valid point, bro. I mean, the defensive line definitely did their key things. I mean, you still get frustrated with some of the way that some of these guys just haven't been turning up this whole season. I mean, I want to give props to Joseph and Saul. They were a key addition this past week because we were hurting in that run defense. The acquisitions of grabbing those two in the middle of the week and getting them ready for Sunday was key because, I mean, they played a big part. They ended up combining for a sack. I mean, I think that was very, very key, you know what I mean, being their first game. You know, you see the excitement in both those guys. I mean, even during, like, pre-warm-ups, they were excited. They were ready to go. I mean, they were full throttle, so it was just, like, exciting to see those guys go to work. So I think the key addition to them, too, I would give those two my defensive players of the week. But what I want to get at is that I'm just getting frustrated on where Fletcher Cox has been at. I mean, we're talking about 11 tackles so far this season. We're going into 10 games. all right, where's this guy at? I mean, I heard Seth Joyner the other day really make a key comment. Like, you're getting paid all this money, dude, but play your game. And I haven't seen it. Like, I look, at the end of the day, I'm not the one on the field, you know what I mean? So I can't, I'm not the one going against these 300-plus pounders. But, I mean, Fletcher's better than this, man. Real talk, yeah, better than this. So it's just like, where is it at? I mean, I don't think he needs anybody else around him to really get, you know, he asked for a different role, and here he got it this season, but it's just like he's still not showing it. So what's going on? That's the part that's just frustrating me. So yeah. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Well, you know what? It would frustrate me too, but I understand where he's at now, because he was asking for a different role. He wanted if they did this early in the year and brought these two guys in, if you look at his role, he's been playing more than 90% of the snaps. So his role, he's no longer there. He's 31 years old. He's got to be a rotational guy. And when you get those other guys there that you can rotate with and not leaving them on the field and hanging them out to dry. It's like, I know what you're saying. I saw a different guy on this past Sunday. I saw a little bit of a different guy. And hopefully I continue to see him get better, because he's played this. That's the best I've seen him play, because he has some dogs with him. It's like, you have some, the other guys, but you got Hargrove with you. I was like, but then he comes out for rotation. Then you got the other young guys in there who they're not gonna double team him. So you still getting the brunt of the blame. And then he played 71 of 80 plays the week before that.
So
I don't care who you are, but you're not gonna play in the professionally. That's college shit. The most plays I played was 90 some plays in college. And then after that, you're not a big dog and play that many plays and think you're gonna get anything out of it.
Now, here's the breakdown of the defensive line snaps. Fletcher Cox had 48 snaps. Hargrave had 47. Josh Sweat had 36. Brandon Graham, 29. Linville Joseph, 26. Milton Williams had 18. Ndamukong Suh had 17. And Robert Quinn had 10.
I need to see more from Quinn.
Yeah, I need to get him
in there a little bit more.
Yeah, going to my defensive MVP, I'm going to go with the new guys that came on off the street. Just the fact that they came off the street.
They were not on the street. I hate when you motherfuckers talk about we come off the street.
The guys that came in to give us a boost.
Yeah, motherfucker, I'm muted myself.
You know what I'm saying? those guys, I really appreciate what they brought to the table, because it's not every day that, you know, you can get some guy to come in and, you know, give you that kind of juice when you need it. You needed that kind of juice. And they came and provided that. Linville Joseph said, he's like, I wasn't really prepared. I wasn't thinking I was going to play that much. But the fact that I did that, he's like, I was great against the run. He showed up. And Sue, I think that one play where they both got the half sack together, I thought that was a perfect a scene right there, meeting at the quarterback. So I think overall, I'll give it to the defensive line and Linville Joseph and Sue. I think together there, you know, the trench warfare was pretty tough. I mean, BG sack was too, man. I love that play. He converted speed to power. He took this rookie. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna send this dude into next week. Took his lunch money, went right into his chest plate and threw him, and then got the sack on top of that. So I thought that was nice. So what's your biggest takeaway from the dub?
This team isn't exactly, to be honest with you, it's that this team isn't exactly where I thought they were.
Really?
Just based off of, like, I can't get past the game plan. I totally understand the adjustments. I agree with the adjustments, but like versus the Colts, granted, I mean their defense is good, but I just feel like the way that this offense has been moving at will all season long, I was kind of disappointed with our offensive performance. I think that there was a lot of guys that really were just kind of MIA.
You know who's MIA? You have to watch the game. When you this late in the season, you have to know that I know I'm mesmerizing you right now, but you have to know that you're going to get everybody's best. What you got right now is a bunch of guys who are not even mercenaries. They're fighting for a job because it's going to be a new sheriff in town next season in Indianapolis. So you better put some good shit on tape. So when you're dealing with that, especially as coming in as 9-1 and actually having something to play for, and you're not playing for another job, the fact that they got this victory and they persevered, they came back. This is a young team. This is the type of shit that we need to see. We need to see them overcome this. Because if you don't, I don't want to see them try to overcome this shit in the playoffs. I want them to overcome it now.
Agreed.
And what I'm trying to get you to understand is, like, there's going to be ebb and flows throughout the season, and I'm expecting this team to build up the mental and physical toughness to be able to handle this type of stuff in the playoffs. So when we get to the playoffs, we've seen all the shit that we can see. See, right now we have a really young team, and the adversity hasn't really been there. And it shows how disappointed you are. We haven't had any adversity all this year. I pretty much all the adversity we've made up has been me bitching over the defense coordinator. Every other game, we put our foot in everybody's ass. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so when you're doing that, you're constantly doing that, you don't have time to correct things. You know, because everything's already celebrating, and we won. It's like, what you talking about? What the fuck you talking about? We won. Then on to the next one. It's like, no. It's like when you win games like this, you come back in, you have to go over all and iron out all the wrinkles, like you said, like Nutmeg says, iron out all the wrinkles and fix the mistakes. It's like, because offensively they're gonna have to fix the mistakes, and like you said, the offensive coordinator is gonna have to look in the mirror, or else he's gonna have Nick Sirianni saying, "What the fuck was that again?" Like I don't know if y'all remember Arizona, but he threw that screenplay like two or three times in a row. and Nick Sirianni got to the sideline and said, "What the fuck was that?" But you know, it's the last few games have been eye openers. But I feel like I need to see my team in some adversity. I can't, everything can't always be peachy keen. This ain't no fucking Disney movie.
My biggest takeaway, man, probably like, you know, the Dallas Goedert effect, and you talk about spacing in the offense. You talk about the ways defenses can roll coverages to your other playmakers. I think, I mean, the young guys obviously have to find a role. A lot of penalties amongst that group. Calcaterra with a hold. Who was it? Tyree Jackson had a play call back as well.
Yeah,
which was kind of ticky tack. I went back and watched the play. It was kind of, he just bumped the dude. But
did you see the down the illegal man down the field call? I didn't like that.
They're getting
pretty fucking liberal against us with that.
Yeah,
it's like what are you talking about? For any of you guys who don't know what the rule is, our offensive line gets 3 yards downfield. That's why they use play action fake, because they want to knock the crap out of the defensive lineman to get him just to stop, and then they kind of stop and they kind of mess up, but. But sometimes they knock the defense lineman out the club, and they keep going because that's their instinct is to kill.
Speaking of out the club, are you checking IDs right now with that wand while doing this podcast?
No, this is the Eye of Thundera. Give me sight beyond sight.
he's checking his bed.
Damn, yeah. Looking like a CSI crime scene.
Yeah, buddy.
some magic was performed right there. No,
I was listening to the radio very quickly, and I heard this comment after the game. It was like, did the Colts beat themselves, or did the Eagles?
Don't you hate that, man?
I was like,
the Eagles beat them.
But
I turned the radio off.
I know, but guys, answer this question. When I look at the sports outlets. And they ask that fucking question. They always talk about a team that's getting their ass kicked. Like they'll say, like if the Cowboys lose, they'll be like, did they lose, or did that team beat them, or did they just beat themselves? Mm-hmm. No, there's a team on the other side trying to kick your ass. It's like you're not playing yourself. It'd be different if you was playing yourself in practice or something. Yeah, you beat yourself in practice, but when you come out there, the person
you do beat yourself in practice.
Who? Me?
Not
in public. That's a one-man show. It's not a public entity there, buddy. But no, it's like I know what you guys talk about too, because it's just like, it's like, man, well, what? And then why do we always talk about the losers? Why? We always talk about the losers. Even our game, the one we played against, they just talk about the Colts. Then we kicked the Cowboys' ass. They talk about did the Cowboys just lose? Or the Vikings? They was talking all this shit about the other team instead of talking about the winner. And why?
Yeah, you know how they do. But during the game, I actually pulled out a tweet because at you know at the point we were a lot of mistakes here and there. So you know, Eagles just shooting themselves in the foot. You know that's something they got to clean up, man. Like they got to clean up as they go along. You know, obviously, you want to see a well-tuned, fine oil machine. I just think it's funny that the offense is kind of stalling. And then the other thing, AJ Brown is AJ Brown. As healthy as we'd like him to be. I think that ankle is bothering him.
I think so too. I also saw some tweet today that just kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't even really thinking about, and I don't agree with it before I want to preface that. But it was kind of suggesting that it was asking is Devontae Smith underratedly having like a poor second year this year? I just don't really even know. Like, I don't know where that's even coming from. I think that this offense has so many weapons that are involved, and anyone that could pop off on any given Sunday, that like for a couple games, it sometimes that happens where guys get lost in the shuffle. But for that to come after that game, I mean, he led the team in receiving yards. I don't even understand how that point came about.
Now, I don't know who tweeted that, but if you'd have put that in there and let them know that their comment meant shit, they're looking for clickbait. A lot of times you see people. And that, I was like, I had an argument on the radio one time with somebody. We're talking about somebody's play. I was like, well, did you watch film? They were like, no. So what the fuck am I talking to you for? It's like when you critique the game and you're talking to somebody, you ask the first thing you ask is, how many times have you watched the game?
Right.
It's like I'm as soon as they say I'm shut the fuck up because you haven't prepared for this argument and you didn't think nobody was gonna call you on your shit. So I like to call people on their shit, especially when I know that they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Do you think that with if Dallas Goedert continues to be out, we see a little bit more of Zach Pascal sprinkled in the offense?
I saw him that one play that he came on a motion play off into the flats. I think you have to start using these tight ends. It's really about throwing at them and going at your targets, just giving them these opportunities. I mean, Stoll has never been a sexy weapon for this offense, but he's been reliable in a sense for where he was drafted coming
he's
in.
He's a new age dick rod. He's reliable.
Yeah. He was undrafted, correct?
I wasn't so much talking about where they came from. I was more so talking about just a dependable, you know, backup tight end.
I mean, but
we need to expand his role a little bit because I saw our inability to play without Goddard. Or I saw his hamstring because we didn't have Goddard there. Because Goddard, when you have Stoll out there, it's only certain plays that he gonna run, and he doesn't put fear in your heart defensively. Yeah. So it's like he's gonna have to do some stuff to make the other teams take notice. Because I know he had a couple of penalties.
I think he had two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one too many.
Now, Blue Meanie says my biggest takeaway from the Eagles being takeaway was the Eagles being able to come back from behind. You think the Eagles are built to come back from behind?
Yeah, I mean, I think they showed it twice already this season, one against the Jaguars and then this game right here.
Speak on this. This was a more nail-biting come from behind.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it came down to the wire.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, but, you know, I know that the comment went out very early in the game from somebody out on the Sportcast talking about, you know, this is the first time these guys have trailed. I'm like, dude, have you been watching the season at all? I mean, we've trailed before. We've overcome it. Like, you know, I mean, we're doing our thing. So, I mean, like, just, again, go back into that bag and then try to find any little bullshit you could pull out just to go ahead and talk shit about us. Like, it's starting to get ridiculous. Going back to that comment about Devontae, I don't know what that person was talking about, because the good problem that we got is we got three weapons that are going to get a fair share of the ball. So, I mean, it's like you guys mentioned, you're never going to know who's going to have the bigger game that week. So, but that's a good problem to have. So, Watkins. I mean, but I mean, if you really think about it, if you take away that fumble he had, that was a big play he had last week against the Redskins. You know, being there, saw it live, it was just like, damn, he caught it, but, you know, he didn't know how to hold on to the ball. Mm-hmm. And I know they were clowning him all during the week because of that, and they even started a new drill because of that. So, I mean, they call it the Watkins drill. Yeah. So, that means,
well,
hey,
you have, but now that's what I'm saying. It's like with games like that, you have to put different things in. They should have been doing the tackling drill as well. because Jones and the other kid was running through us like a track meet.
Absolutely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I got something that I want to bring up here that, you know, I had brought up a few weeks ago while I wasn't on a show. I had commented and
receipts.
Then.
Okay, yeah. Get it out.
So you of all people, Hollis, tell me to
get it out, please.
and so what my point is that this stable of running backs, man, once you get past Miles Sanders, it gets really thin. Kenny Gainwell has taken a step back this year. Boston Scott, I mean, love you for Giants games, man, but you're pretty MIA elsewhere. My point that I made a couple weeks ago is, are you confident in this running back core if in the event that Miles Sanders were to go down? Now I ask you a few weeks later, after seeing these running backs, do they instill any confidence in you whatsoever?
I think, you know, Boston Scott has had moments where he's made big plays. So, like, I can't say that I'm not confident that he won't make some plays down the road. I think being assimilated in the offense, I think the way that he came in, I know people were like, why is he in the offense? But I do know that Miles Sanders was probably tired on a couple of those plays. But that third and four, you're like, bro, this is the play you call right here. It's like it. You're like, but, you know, honestly, I just feel like, you know, Gainwell still has to find his way. You know, he still can make he's got a nose for the end zone.
He did last year.
He's got the best hands on the team, just according to Miles Sanders.
Well, running backs.
Now the I think it's more of play calling. It's like something when you look at it, a lot of the runs are called for Miles Sanders. Do I think if you put one of these guys in the role where they have Miles Sanders, could we get by with him? Yeah. I feel like that you have a guy, the guys that take the one cut and they run downhill. They pretty much are not the same as Miles. Miles gives you that extra added oomph, but that's what backups do. I was like, the game plan, and that's what I'm saying. The game plan is the problem. You're not deploying them the way that we were deploying them earlier. I think the offensive coordinator has got a little pass happy at times, and he's not calling the runs like he was calling them and putting people on notice. No, but it's like in order for you to, it's like you have to call the run. You have to run the ball. It calls the run plays. If you want people to fear after the three-headed monster we got back there, run the ball. And Melvin Gordon, no, I don't want no fucking Melvin Gordon. Waiting to happen.
Daryl Henderson is available now too, and that name was a lot more intriguing to me than Melvin Gordon. But I just want to make the point in that, like, last year we ran into a problem with our running backs. We ended up having to bring in Jordan Howard off the street, a big body running back that got the job done, man. Mm-hmm. I look at Trey Sermon, I see another big body running back that fits in this system.
But does he know his shit?
I don't know. I haven't seen him yet.
We know why you haven't seen him. Because he probably doesn't fucking know his shit.
Well,
you know, it's not
teach him
it's
the
not,
shit.
You can teach all you want to, but if he doesn't get it, that's not our fault. It's like sometimes when we look at stuff like, man, they're great, And then you see him out there, you know what the call is. You're like, oh, shit.
Aren't you the same guy that told me in the offseason, though, that decisions will be made based off of guys that were taken in draft order? Or, you know, there's guys that end up playing because simply based off of their contracts and their draft position. Is that not still applicable?
That's still applicable. But if you want to get on the field, you don't give them a reason to keep you over there. Remember, I was an undrafted free agent, fuckstick. So, you see, I know the one thing that I did know, you don't ever give them the reason not to play you. So if Trey Sermon wants to play, when they put him in there, he needs to perform and know what the fuck he's doing. He's like, you can't come to huddle and not know what they're calling.
I agree with that. I just feel like after with the time that he spent there, and I agree with you. If the coaches definitely know more than we do, they see him in practice. I don't know what level of knowledge Trey Sermon has about this offense, but I feel like the amount of time that he spent here, he should be up to speed.
Yes, he should. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is sometimes guys just don't get it.
No, like
The one thing that I would say, and being around the folks and stuff, the one thing that even a teammate can't stand, it was one. Okay, this will show you how much your book, being your book and knowing the playbook matters. It was one time Jim Johnson installed a bunch of audible fronts according to the backfield formation. So me and Brandon Whiting were really the only ones that studied and knew them, and the other guy. So the one guy. It was one guy, Kelly Griggs. He kept asking Brandon Whiting questions. And he asked Brandon Whiting a question one time. He got real quiet. And Brandon Whiting said, you know what? You get in your fucking book at night. So when somebody's not on the field, it's more so because they don't know what the hell to do.
No, I mean, also for running back, man, it's super important for you to be attention to detail when it comes to pass blocking. You cannot pass block, you're not getting on the field at all. And again, you know, if is he a solid piece out of the backfield, if you're putting him down on a third down or passing situation, defenses can key on that. Hey, they're not throwing the ball to him because they don't trust him in space.
But that's what I was going to tell Ev. I was like, Ev, as much as I want to see the kid too, we can't put a one trick pony in there. It may work one or two times. It's kind of like when you see back in the day when we used to see certain tight ends in the game, we knew that they were passing because that joker's not blocking nobody.
Right.
So it's like if we keep putting the guy in just to run the ball and he doesn't know any of the pass protection or anything or any of the routes that he's supposed to run, you can't really use him in that kind of time. So
now moving on, I think down the line, I think you're hoping that Jordan Davis comes back. But do we expect that Sue and Joseph become a weekly 1-2 punch off the bench?
I think that considering everything that Tank had said, and considering Fletch's age, I think that they have instilled themselves as a part of the rotation now. I mean, Fletch can't be he had more snaps than any other defensive lineman this past week. That's obvious that can't happen. So I think they'll more evenly split up that rotation between all those guys now.
You know what? We had a Milton Williams signing too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
So it's like, so when you bring, and I will attest, when you're a young guy and you see them steady bringing guys in, mm-hmm. you start speaking up a little bit. So I think it's going to help Milton Williams out too, because those guys are built in this form too. And those guys aren't selfish. They know that it's about winning and getting those young guys ready to play. So when they need to play and you need a rest, and I only want those guys to play the amount of snaps that they played this past week. That's it. Mm-hmm. If they can do that, and then I get Milton to take a few snaps from Fletcher to put Fletcher on notice that if you don't come on and start making some plays, this young guy here, he's gonna be taking a little bit more of your snaps, and then we'll have us we got us a nice formidable interior, but it'll be that much better.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the whole fact that we ended up picking those two guys up this week, and that should have definitely got a message across to the younger guys. I mean, I was also thinking the same thing, and I always like stuff like that because it brings the best out of these guys that are young and hungry. You know what I mean? So I mean, Milton ended up showing that in the game when he got the sack. I mean, he was playing his ass off, so it was just good to see him. So, I mean, like, you know, those are the type of messages that, you know, you would think that these young boys would build off of.
Oh, news and notes. Eric Allen is a semi-finalist for the Hall of Fame. And Ricky Waters. Two of my favorite dudes. For who? For what? My dad still says that. I'm like, Dad, you're going
to for what?
You're going to get up for your chair? For who? For what?
You know I was in that game when he did that, right?
Yeah.
We were pissed. I didn't respect that shit. Fuck out of here.
Because we never have this meme. Me and my dad we never have this joke. It's been a running joke in my family for 20-something years here. I mean, so Eric Allen, he's a guy that, despite his size, he balled out. I think it's time. And I don't know if he's getting in, but I'm saying, you know, do you think he's getting in?
Probably not because they assholes. I call it like I said, because my buddies up for the modern era, Jari Evans from Philadelphia, he's up, and they got some other guards up too. And I'm like, some of the guards that I've seen go in, they got tank tracks on them. I've rolled over them a bunch of times and made sport of them. What the hell happened to F?
You got to probably handle something real quick.
Okay, but you know, as I want him to get in, and I feel like he should already been in. Mr. Pick Six himself should have been in there.
Yeah,
it's like he should have been in before Aeneas Williams. Before Jason Taylor.
Now Jimmy shoots a question: how many sacks this week? You think we get a one sack day again? I think I'm gonna go four sacks.
Four sacks.
We got the new blackout helmets. You guys feeling the new blackout helmets?
Is that, oh, is that what we wearing this week? Yeah, so I feel like I'm looking at a 5 or 6 sack day. We used to try to get four or more, but that, I think they throw the ball a little bit, and I think we're gonna make sport of their offensive line. Because their offensive line are some pigeons. Although I'm impartial, Runyon Jr. is on the offensive line, so you know, I'm not gonna say that shit. I hope he do good. I hope we kick his ass. I'm sorry, he's on the wrong side of the ball, but. The offensive line, we should be able to get to them early and often. So
now lawsuits coming. The most interesting handle I've ever seen on YouTube. He says, "Talk about Quinn." I think for what they're paying him, who the Bears are paying. I think you know they gave up a fourth round draft pick, but I think man, he's got to find his way. There's a lot of guys in there. There's a lot of dudes. Like I said, he got, 10 snaps last week. So he just has to find his way. But we're going to need him somehow, some way,
I think he's going to come up. I think he shows up this week. He played for the Bears last year. They played him twice. He knows these people coming in here. He should show up. He should be one of – that's what I say about four-plus sacks. Because I'm thinking he's gonna make his way and get back there.
Defense has 4-plus sacks, or Robert Quinn himself?
No, the defense.
I was gonna say, yeah.
I think Robert Quinn probably had one or two.
Okay. Who has more sacks next week, Robert Quinn or Primer Evan?
Prime who?
I'm gonna go with Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn.
Unless I won't be on the field.
You want to put money on that?
Well, the question was
who has more sacks next week? You Prime, Evan, or Mr. Quinn?
I'm gonna say Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Eagles haven't played me like one play yet.
So you want to bet $20 on that?
Sure.
Yeah.
On the fact that
how about
Quinn
this?
Has more sacks than me?
How about this?
I think I'm misunderstanding the question.
Yeah.
You want to give away money?
You're hearing it clearly.
Yeah. Well, how about this? How about this bet? If I win, well, just to be a friendly bet. If I win the bet. Because I said, you guys are going to have more than him, which will be zero. I get the first cheesesteak at a tailgate.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Look in front of his face. Wait.
Nothing like the first cheesesteak on the Sunday.
listen.
This could potentially be Aaron Rodgers' last trip to Philadelphia.
Oh, cool.
we're gonna put him in the dirt and give him a proper proper Viking funeral,
proper burial.
Yeah.
Hey, Tank, did you have your what was it like playing against Aaron Rodgers?
Kind of like playing against Brett Favre without the stupid mistakes.
did you talk shit to him? Was he a big shit talker? Or
yeah, he wasn't. He was surreal. He wasn't really like mildly or anything.
Okay.
No, only Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf tried to talk shit. Yeah, but we can't. I was kicking his ass. I think I had like two or three sacks on his ass. Nobody. No, the quarterbacks don't really talk shit because I guess they don't want you to kick their ass. They don't want to piss you off no more than you already are.
But did you know there's actually a huge rivalry between Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Rodgers that has gone over a decade. It's lasted years, so much so that I think after the Bucks knocked out the Packers out of the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers wanted to meet him after the game to finally get it off their chest. Like, can we meet up? So how bad does this rivalry have to be that they really had to do after 10 years?
What does it stem from?
It stems from being playing with Detroit. And always sacking the shit out of him.
And then he kicked him, didn't he?
I was gonna say, wasn't there like a kick involved there? I forget.
Yeah, don't make it.
I don't know if it was directly to Aaron Rodgers, but yeah. I think it was to one of his teams.
I think it was one of the Packers.
The offensive lineman.
I remember that. That's where he earned the title. You know what I mean? The dirtiest, schemiest player in the league.
I won't say schemiest. He'd be whooping ass and motherfuckers be trying to do extra stuff. And they always try to play the victim when you whip that ass, and everybody see it. It's like I watched it play over and over again. The dude was trying to break his arm. When I see you, I'll show you what he was trying to do. Because he kicked the center because the center when you try to lock him out,
he ain't gonna be showing me. He ain't gonna be showing me none of that shit.
They grab your arm, but they grab it right here. And when they grab it right here and you push them, you can pull your shoulder out the socket.
Oh, I remember that's what got him all hyped up. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. His arm got locked in that play. Correct.
Yeah, because the offensive line, the center, he does it the most because they're smaller. Because they grab that arm and they pull it and start running with it. And you're like, hey, motherfucker, let go of my arm. So, you know. That's why but then they try to play the victim like after the fact, like, hey, what did I do? Nothing. Yeah. Ba-ba, ba-ba.
No. Another fun Suh fact is that his most hated quarterback. I'm gonna give you a guess. Evan, you go first. Your number one quarterback that Ndamukong Suh hates the most.
I'm just gonna take a shot in the dark and say Aaron Rodgers.
Nope. Tank.
Matt Stafford.
Nope.
Tom Brady.
Oh shit! Brett Favre.
Sam Bradford.
Wow. Sam Bradford.
Just in general, or what team was he playing for?
He got drafted before him.
Yep. So he said, I wanted to make that man pay for the rest of his life. Man. That's
What was the reasoning behind the hate?
Because he got drafted in front of him.
Oh, okay.
And for nothing, Sam Bradford sucked ass his entire career.
Suh was a psycho. I said Suh was a psycho, a quiet psycho. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Brandon says, is Fletch shot? He hasn't been good this year.
Yeah.
Body's tired, man.
I mean, in the beginning of the first couple games, he showed up.
Inconsistent.
I think the energy just kind of drained quickly. And then he was thrown in these games where, you know, he's being asked to do more than anybody else on the defensive line.
70 plays.
While being one of the oldest guys on there. I think that, you know, he's just he's getting drained fast. The gas tank isn't as big as it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, that Washington game got the best of him. I mean, they're talking about, what was it, 70 plays you said, Hollis?
70 snaps out of 80. We gave up 80 plays to the Commanders.
I mean, he was tired. I mean, you could see it. He was hands was on his waist. He was breathing hard. I mean, he was exhausted. So, yeah,
hands
I mean,
his body,
man, is really taking the hurt.
My thing is, at one point in time, is like, he can't do what he used to do. So
yeah,
but we need Jordan.
But he could do what he used to do in spurts.
Yeah.
Now see, yeah. And that's where, I was talking one time, in the old school way that the 49ers used to do, they used to get like we got the guys, and they would go and wave, and the guys would get 15 to 20 plays, 25 plays apiece to get in there and get off. And you got guys who know what they're doing, know how to take care of their body, and know how to play. You can't play. Fletcher is not 21 no more, 21 or 22 no more. 70 plays is way too much for a 300-pounder to be out there trying to play. Mm-hmm. I think he probably going to need a couple of weeks to recuperate from that. But unfortunately, he only played 48 this time. Now, I still think that was a bit much. 35 to 40 plays, 35 tops, and you get the best out of him. But you also have to make things interesting defensively. Don't have them stand up and line up in the same damn gap all the time, hitting the same, going with no type of creativity, no type of slants, no type of being able to fuck over the offensive linemen. It's like if you're always there and they get their hands on you every time, it stops being fun.
I want to give a big shout out to Philly Sports Trips that are holding things down on the road. Obviously, they were out there in Indianapolis doing the damn thing. They had the Notre Dame game as well, so they got a game in the snow. Their next upcoming trip, December 11th, will be the ultimate bus trip to MetLife Stadium to play the Giants. And then there's going to be this even colder game, the Birds Ultimate Chicago Trip in Chicago, or other words, Chicago. If you're prime, that will be a cold game. I think we're planning to go on that one. I know Ev will give you a smirk.
I'm going.
So you didn't go to the Colts game, huh?
No, I didn't go to the Colts game, but I'm going to the MetLife game. Now I'm going to the MetLife game because we got to go up there and beat up the Giants.
That's definitely a game that I'm looking forward to.
So
me too.
Talking about games around any topics around the league that you guys have, the Giants lost to the Lions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also
that was my picker for the week. I picked Detroit to go ahead and beat them. So you know, what I mean, that was an easy pick.
Yeah, they won three in a row now. Huh?
Hey, Dan Campbell is doing a good thing for that organization. I still don't feel like he's a head coach, but you know, what I mean, he's turned that organization around. I mean, they're just still missing the piece. I mean, no disrespect to him, really. None at all, but you know, I just still think they just need an upgrade on the coaching part.
I've noticed that the Eagles, Bills, and the Chiefs have kind of been owning the top spots as far as like power rankings, as far as how everyone regards who the top teams are in the league. And one of the things that's kind of taken away from me is that like the past 3 weeks, the Bills have looked human, man. Bills have looked like
pedestrians.
They have. I mean, they won this past week, but versus the Browns in a pretty close game. I know that they had given up the previous two, so they are hitting that midseason dip right now. They a little bit worse than us for sure.
Hey, Cozy with some updated news. He says Sue's wife is coming to the tailgate.
Wow.
We'll see. We will see.
You know that him and Slay played together, so you know their wives know each other. So,
and I find that they both play basketball.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Slay's wife played basketball, and then Andre Chachere's wife played basketball as well. So they were talking about forming a dream team or some shit like that.
the one thing I did notice around the league was the Jets. The Jets talked with the young quarterback. Standing up there in front of them and getting 2 inches per play in the second half of the game and saying that you didn't disappoint the defense. The fuck you didn't? You think you earned your check? You ought to go pick up your check with a mask and a gun.
That was classic, man. That was classic.
And the fact that he did it and did it like this, it was not that he said it. It was how he said it.
The demeanor, it's
like,
man.
The other part of what I was going to say was, so I'm watching the Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football. Yeah, and Steve Young got in there talking shit about him being tough. But it's a tough-minded kid. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. So stop it. I know he went to BYU, and that's where Steve Young went. He's not fucking tough-minded. He's a young punk. who's been handed everything to him. You know, and for him to come out and say that, dude, they literally, the Patriots, in two games, they've scored one touchdown on the defense. One. And you saying you don't think you've disappointed the defense? Even if you don't think that, you're supposed to say, I think I let my guys down.
Yeah, I think it makes you more appreciative of a guy like Jalen Hurts, the way that he carries himself, the way that he is more we than an I, and always. But then when it comes to time to take blame, he'll put it on his back. And I think that's one thing you just love about Jalen Hurts, and that's the kind of thing that makes me, I can sleep at night knowing that the quarterback is not pissing off the locker room. Yeah,
called leadership. Now it was the other part of that was I was listening to the Yahoos on SportsCenter, and Steve Young and Robert Griffin was there. I was like, they would sound like two bitches talking about how to handle this quarterback. You sit his punk ass down, because he's not. We're looking to go to the playoffs. You sit that punk ass boy down until he realizes that it's a team and it's not just you. You were 9 of 22. And you were the second overall pick. It was tough scene. Yeah, it was god awful. And I know everybody wants to talk about the Sproles getting back there to return
kicks. Getting on Blue Meanie's question here. I mean, I did see that interview. I mean, look, I'm a big fan of Darren Sproles. You know what I mean? Mighty Mouse. He always got love for me, so I mean, hey, if the man says he still got it,
he was specific. Prime, he was specific. Playoff. He said a nice playoff run and a couple of kickoff returns and punt returns. He was specific, and I like that.
He's also specific about a certain altercation that he had with Carson Wentz about and then saying that he had to put him in check and let him know to be happy for the team. He said after they had that discussion, he fell in line, and you know they didn't have issues after that. But I feel like it's funny because you don't really hear Darren Sproles speak too often. But you know when he does speak, you know obviously he speaks I believe anything Sproles says. I believe so. You know
he speaks with a bit of authenticity, so you're more inclined to believe him. And I'm glad somebody finally said that, because a lot of people were blaming that on Alshon Jefferson on things that were going down. It's like, and I still don't think that jackass got that that Carson Wentz got it. That's why he's not here.
So we will be having a episode down the road talking about the Packers. Obviously, it's Thanksgiving, so we're gonna have to figure some things out.
Y'all too sick, heifers. You have to figure out if y'all, especially the light skinned cat down at the bottom.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
get yourself better. Go sweat it out. I'm gonna get me a ball ass spread of food. I'm going down to my sisters, and American woman.
So I'm gonna, it's Thanksgiving. You know, we want to talk about some things that we're thankful for. So I'm gonna start with the top five Eagles we're thankful for. I know I'll give you, this could be interesting.
Is this all time? Is this on the team?
No, on the team currently.
On the team currently.
Eagles we're thankful.
We could all just knock Jalen Hurts out of the way, right? Obviously.
Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's start off with being thankful for Howie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You got to be thankful for Howie.
That's a good one.
He's an Eagle.
That last move this past week to go, it's like, and I don't know about you guys, to put it in perspective, after that Commanders game, that dismantling physically up front, and he goes out and not only gets one guy, I was like, okay, cool. Then turned around to get another big dog up front that are no slouches. I'm thankful that we got him. The wheel and deal.
All right. So Howie and Jalen, as of right now, we got three more spots to fill.
Are we all picking our own individual one?
AJ Brown.
AJ Brown.
Yeah.
I got to go Chauncey, bro. Chauncey Gardner Johnson. He's been on fire this whole year, man. You're giving me the I don't know look, but
no, I love him. Yeah, right? That's my dude. But I'm trying to figure out what cornerback I say.
I'm going with Epps.
Epps.
Yeah.
I'm going with Epps because he stepped up, man. He stepped up big time.
Definitely did.
What about Miles Sanders?
Evan. Prime Ev didn't like that.
Didn't like what?
Kelsey. Like you said,
it just caught me off guard. I didn't think he was going to go with that.
Yeah, right.
What do you think about Kelsey's high snap? You think it's time for you to shut down the podcast?
I think it's time for it to shut Hollis down. That's what I think.
they call that the fastball. You get one fastball from Kelsey a game. They said.
I was like, you're gonna have to shut down that podcast, Kelsey. One more bad snap as a fellow podcast, you're gonna have to knock that off. So we got Howie.
That's okay.
We got Howie.
Got Hurts. Got CJ. Prime says Marcus Epps. Are we keeping that on the list? Or is that?
Oh wow! See, I told you, Prime. Told you.
Man, how about Goddard?
You're challenging my pick.
how about Goddard?
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one, but we don't have him now.
Why do you like that one, Hollis? What's wrong with Goddard, bro?
Because he's currently injured, sir. Huh. Your best ability is availability. You were saying? See, that's what you were supposed to do when he said Marcus Epps. You were supposed to make a comeback. I'm a man and I win. Go look it up.
Pete Nathan says Slay and Bradbury.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
AJ with the Chauncey and AJ shout out. Oh, Dylan. Dylan off the top ropes with Lane Johnson.
He's been steady and consistent.
What about Sirianni?
Oh, sorry, Ev.
Todd says, "What about Sirianni?"
That's true. How we forget Sirianni?
Yeah, he's got Marcus Epps on the list.
He's wow, bro, man, damn.
Pete Nathan with his best take this year, Devontae Smith.
Hold on, Marcus.
All right, well, let's get into another topic here. Evan. Okay, are we going to do our challenge this weekend for that game? What's good? All right, because you got a lot of mouth over there because of my Epps.
That one might just be given to you.
What challenge? What's the challenge?
I always it was a tradition we started as of last year. Evan's got one game up on me on horse, so I wanted to try to redeem myself this year.
I'm still down to play some horse.
I'm still going to go ahead and get my redemption some way, somehow.
I think you just need to win just for your, pride. I mean,
yeah, not for your ego.
My pride is still here. Stoutland.
Yeah, that's my guy.
I agree with Stoutland. Stoutland University. I think Prime
this goddamn,
also.
This goddamn top five went to like top 15.
I know. We are just saying.
Right? I say Avante Maddox too, man. Not top five, but I just say I'm thankful for what he's brought to the table this year.
Alice says you're not allowed to appreciate injured players.
Your best ability is your availability. Right?
The guy telling scary stories around the bonfire with a flashlight in front of his face says that you're not allowed to injured players.
They're only scary to you because you're afraid of the dark.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I do see some IDs on the reflection of the glasses. Just saying.
He's on his Dahmer grind.
Oh. I just got what you're saying.
We need to get a mushroom sponsor. Man, I turn out the lights and get some mushrooms and have a great time. But let's go with our last word, man. Before we get out of here, obviously it's going to be Thanksgiving. Last word. How about you, Mr. Tank?
Last word. It's that nostalgic time of the year. And everybody, don't put up no damn Christmas tree yet either.
Mine's already up and decorated.
And I bet you're not going to take it down till the summertime.
No, I'm not a psycho.
Just thankful for being around, man, and enjoying this game we call life, and being able to do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. Thankful for you guys having me on the show, on the 4th of John show, so I can find some place to cut up
and trip out.
Yeah, and trip out and stuff, and hang with you guys. We had some good times, and hopefully there's many more. I'm happy to be here. This is good things. Baseball has been very good to me.
Likewise, man. Likewise.
And go Birds. And Ben Simmons sucks. I'm sorry, I was watching.
Yes, yes.
Sorry. But that's all I got, man.
Yeah, real quick, man. Thankful for life. Thankful for family. Thankful for my friends. Thankful for this crew, man. I mean, none of this shit would be possible if all of us didn't come together and make this. And then thankful for the crew. For the fans, you know what I mean? For the people that tune in, that show up to our tailgates, a lot of this wouldn't be possible because of you guys as well. So, I mean, I always look forward to this time of the year because, you know, I get to talk about what I'm thankful for. Want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. Be smart. If you get the chance to go play some football, go play some Turkey Bowl, because I know I am. Looking forward to that, catching up with some childhood friends, something that we traditionally do every year. So that's going to be big. And then, you know, definitely catching up with family, eat some turkey.
Hey Ev, I'm the black lion of a Voltron group. I need four more lions. I need four more lions.
I'm in.
Yeah, you know what Voltron is, right?
To be honest, I have no fucking clue.
God damn it, I'm gonna smack the shit out of you when I see you, man.
Form feet and legs, form arms and body, and I'll form the head.
I know what I'm gonna get you for Christmas. I got it in the bag.
Yeah.
Anyway, on a more somber note,
don't anyway us, man.
No, I'm gonna anyway. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for good news. My family received some great news yesterday. My grandfather about 4 months ago was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. He's 85 years old. Things weren't looking good. And then yesterday we got a call. We got some good news that the cancer has shrunk and it's completely out of his lymph nodes.
What's up, man? Congrats.
Yeah, things are looking on the up right now. And I'm thankful for that.
There you go.
Good. That's good news, man. That's great news.
You got sentimental. I thought you were going to say you was thankful for Marcus Epps.
I'm going to say my last word is just, you know, like I said, like Prom said, thankful for all you guys. Appreciate you the energy y'all bring week in and week out for the Eagles. All you Eagles fans in the chat, who we meet at random tailgates, you give us you know, your thoughts and feedbacks on the show and why you listen. We appreciate that. We love the support. We love following the Eagles, man. It's been a great season. It's been a whirlwind season. It's halfway over, which is crazy. But we're getting ready for these playoffs that are about to embark on, man. I just want everyone out there to enjoy your family at Thanksgiving and be thankful for each day daily. But as always, it's fly, Eagles, fly, and we'll see you in the next one.
Go Birds.